Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances.
In 2017.
It's a try!
Run hard and tackle hard.
You'll hear more footy than ever before. Across the Triple M Network. For Bryden's Lawyers, protecting your future. Peter Sterling, Tony Squires, Ryan Girdler, Wendell Saylor and James Hooper.
Oh, you got to love your rugby league.
Triple M Rocks the Footy.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
G'day, buddy. Welcome to a Saturday afternoon after a huge performance last night. The Broncos 13 beat the Panthers 6. All those Panthers fans, anytime across the afternoon, 1-3-3-5-3. If you want to chat to us, maybe we can give you our condolences, or if you've got some bitter and twisted thing you need to get off your mind, obviously get straight to us. Broncos supporters, well played. You live for another week. How lovely to see Wendell Saylor, James Hooper and Ryan Girdler. Gentlemen, how are we?
Yes, very good,
morning,
mate.
Boys. Afternoon.
Yeah, got back from Brisbane this morning, and mate, Brisbane fans are happy. Wasn't pretty, but the job was done. 37,000, 38,000 people. But well done to the Broncos. Mate, Penrith were gallant in defeat. And I've got to say, even in a beaten side, Regan Campbell-Gillard, geez, he's had a really good season,
huge,
that kid.
Yeah, phenomenal, wasn't he? Yeah. Scored that try, but aside from that, it was more just, he was just relentless with the ball. He really wanted to take on the Broncos' big blokes in the middle. Maguire has been, absolutely, Josh Maguire has been their best forward all season.
He's,
but I felt as though last night, Regan Campbell-Gillard really wanted to try and make a little bit personal with him.
We always, Tony, talk about, you know, how we've been through the week and what we've been up to. And and then we get into the footy. But it was just funny off air. I was just talking to Tony about, you know, family life. And we have a different relationship than obviously, you know, than when you guys aren't
you two
here.
Have
and
got
when
a
you're
bromance.
Here. So I was just asking about the family and those sorts of things. You know what his response was? Oh, gee, I tell you what, I'll do the community a great service if I keep Harry out of jail. Harry's his 5-year-old son.
Seven.
Honestly, now, is he?
Mate,
what's he done?
Where's
what's
he headed to, Tony?
Look,
what's the issue?
He's probably listening as we speak. I can't
Well,
really
you've just thrown him under the bus.
Harry, Uncle Del will come and talk to you.
Would you? Are you? You admit yourself you're a part-time father.
Yeah, Uncle Del.
When you have to be full-time dad, it really messes with your
head. Sounds like you should try and be a part-time father.
Uncle Del will work with you and tell you what not to do, then you won't go to jail.
So. Yeah.
Yeah. What's going on, Tony? Anything
just
special?
Just one day, well, you know, from beginning to end in his
what gives you the impression that he's heading down that side of the tracks?
He just finds it glamorous, all that kind of stuff. You know, he goes on. Oh,
he's a bit gangster. Is he like a 7-year-old gangster?
He's a 7-year-old gangster. He terrifies me.
Bust a cap in your ass.
Mate, you know who's got a little bit of that little, not of that attitude, but Lewis Johns. He's a little abusive.
Well, they go to the same school.
There you go.
maybe
the school's very good,
too. Maybe it's the school's problem, Tony.
No,
looks like it's going
to
be.
I'm trying to make it the school's problem, I must admit. Gerds, you, of course, have been doing the family thing as well, but with the extended family, what's happened? Who's arrived?
Yeah, my father-in-law turned up this morning from Germany with a couple of two of his sisters and one of their husbands. So they settled in there at a place at Queenscliff for they only come for about 10 days, so it's sort of short.
Yeah,
but it's good to catch up and have obviously you know the grandkids and everything around. And my wife was there this morning, pretty happy.
All right, and so fundamentally, you're speaking German when he's around or English?
We're kind of. It's like a hybrid. It's a hybrid until we've had like about 4 beers, and then it just becomes fluent. But generally, the funny thing is, he tries to talk English to me.
Yeah.
I try to talk German to him. It's just mixed up, Tony. I've got to say, it's really funny.
And Wendell Saylor, we're going to get to a little bit later on the Players Association and their voting system. With Tedesco, little Teddy, winning that award during the week, and some people saying, is that really the way? Even we know how well Cameron
was he the best player all year?
That's the question.
No,
that's
he wasn't.
Wendell might have got some votes at the after party. Did you, big unit? Or?
No, I was only there for a couple of hours. I did back page with Tone, so I rocked up at 9 o'clock, and I was out of there by about 12, but didn't actually leave the start till about 12:45 in the morning. So
what were you doing so late?
Did you go on the tables or something?
No. I had a shocker. So
he did gamble on something though, Tony.
Yeah, my you know what? You know, my attention span is pretty ordinary sometimes, so I was that excited to get there, because it started, I think, at 6:30, and I get a few texts, where are you, big man, blah, 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 and that was just my wife, anyway. And so as I got there, I've changed from back page, and I'm going
he's
up there,
excited,
and I've locked the car, and I'm up there, and, you know, walk in, and I have a beer, and I'm just excited, and then by about 12 o'clock, my wife goes, well, you got to go. And Tristan was there with his partner because the 20s also got nominated. So I thought, okay, went down to the car, 10 past 12, mate, battery dead. I left the lights on, you know, where you leave it. Because I usually get like top of the range car, but because I've got a sponsor car now, it's sort of.
Usually, cars, the lights turn off automatically, yeah?
Yes.
So you're in a poor person's car now.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, but I've come back to the field a little bit. But, so.
Are you still rocking the Bentley, or what are you getting her in?
No, anyway, so my wife, she was in a really good mood, like, I'd sent her to Hong Kong a couple weeks ago. You'd think that'd hold some weight. She just ripped me a new one, so I had to get a taxi back to Wollongong. $230
Cha-ching.
And she wasn't happy because she had to work the next morning. And the car is still at the start, so I've got
to... Still at the car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'll go there today, and hopefully someone can help me start it. But I was actually pulling punters up and see if you've got jumper leads. And actually, Andrew Fafita was in his Range Rover, and I said, Fafita, have you got jumper leads? And he goes, no, bro, see you later.
You know what to do with jumper leads?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What?
Put them on the battery thing, and they start and turn it over.
One 3353 if you've got jumper leads and you're prepared to meet Wendell Saylor
at the start
in Sydney, obviously at about what, 3:30?
Yeah, 3:30. Yeah, yeah.
If you've got the time and you're keen to help Big Dell out,
or NRMA or something, because mate, they're always really good. They can help me. I'm not a member. I joined, but I don't really own a car. So yeah.
Right. You want the NRMA of which you're not a member to come and start your car because why? Because you're Wendell.
I just want to see if it's as good as their service says.
It's an opportunity for the NRA, Tony, because they can pitch to Wendell, who now isn't going to be getting sponsor cars, and in the future he can be a lifelong member.
Yeah, I can tell you the service is very good to members. Plenty to get to. 13-6, that was the score. Let's look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. The Broncos over the Panthers, they live to fight another day. They will play Melbourne next Friday, which is a terrific game in prospect. All that's so much to get to across the 3 hours we have to share. Clearly, the Parramatta, the Eels taking on the Cowboys tonight from ANZ. You'll hear that here as well. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. We do it for Brighton's Lawyers. You can have a superannuation or TPD claim. Speak to Brighton's for legal advice or at askbrightons.com.au. The police to get us underway. Saturday Triple M NRL. Doing it for Brighton's Lawyers. Wendell Saylor singing there, singing along. We've got James Huber. We have Ryan Girdler, Tony Squires. Okay, as we said, Broncos too good for the Panthers, 13-6 last night. Before we get there, though, we were trying to solve the problem of Wendell Saylor, how he was going to get his car up and running. He's left it at the Star. It's a flat battery as of what, last Tuesday?
Yeah.
Jeff has given us a call. G'day, Jeff.
Oh, good on you, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, boys. How's it going?
Good, mate. Good. What do you think, Jeff? What are you going to get there and help him out?
What time you meet me, Jeff?
Well, mate, I can wander down there in the truck if you push the car out to the entrance, and I can stay with the truck, but I'll just blow everything that's worthwhile in the truck, mate. But off the 24 volt. But I'm telling you, you're going to need an auto sparky because the battery is going to be cactus, brother.
Why is it going to be cactus? I mean, don't you just need a jump start and let the motor run for a little while there, Jeff?
Yeah, but you're not going to get enough power from the other car to start to kick it over. The battery's going to be too dead to.
I mean, I've used jumper leads before, Jeff. Why is this
after
such a special?
Days?
Well, no, but the battery obviously drains after a certain amount of time. It doesn't keep draining, Tony. Once it's gone, brother.
It was kicking over. It was going like.
Of course, it's going to work on jumper leads.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon it is. Yeah. Del, what do you reckon?
I got no idea. That's why I'm asking people to help me.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I reckon you'll be right.
You do? Okay. All right. Yeah. So it's on your shoulders then, right?
Yeah. I'll take full responsibility.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, that was negative, Jeff.
We don't need negatrons here, mate.
I thought he was very positive. 13-6, the Broncos over the Panthers. Now, you were there, Wendell Saylor. It was a much better defensive effort from the Broncos, wasn't it, after last week? They got the job done. The Panthers came back at them, yet just couldn't get across the line.
Yeah, look, their completion rate wasn't at its best, the Broncos, but what they did is, mate, they made the Panthers sort of work a little bit in and around the middle and outside, out wide. There was two or three line breaks early in that in the game where they should have taken their opportunities. I think Corey Oates, you know, he scored a try, but then he made a break. David Mead, cross kick. They just didn't finish him off, and they let the Panthers come back into the game. I just thought 6-0 probably flattered the Panthers a little bit. They should have taken those opportunities. But in the second half, they kept making mistakes, and then the Panthers, you know, they got a bit of a sniff and got back into the grind, and it got closer than it should have been because of Regan Campbell-Gillard. But also, there was a break that he made in the first half where I think Gordon Taylor said, mate, the post actually stopped him from doing it. So, yeah, from getting the try.
Yep.
And then there was another.
A massive turning point. Massive. When Regan Campbell-Gillard almost crashed over and the post was all that stopped him. If the post's not there, then guaranteed he scores that try. But I felt like that was a real turning point. The Broncos grew an extra leg out of that, Wendell, and some of their scramble was just absolutely first class. They're obviously, Wayne Bennett, the coach, had given them a pretty harsh dressing down after that loss to the Roosters, and you could really see, Tony, that they wanted to come out and they wanted to make a bit of a statement defensively.
What did you make of it, Gerds?
I was really disappointed, Tony. I mean, I thought Penrith were brave, but I've seen them lose that way so many times this year, and the fact that they haven't worked on and they haven't been able to change what they're poor at, I think that... It's a poor end of the season for them. I know everyone's going to say, yeah, but they did well to get there. The fact of the matter is they've got a roster, yeah, that should really be competing this time of year, and they were good. They should have been good enough last night because they had the lion's share of possession. I know Wendell said the Broncos got out to a good start, but the Penrith were the dominant side for probably 60 minutes with the football. Yeah, not defensively, but with the football. They completed at 80%. I've been saying all year that the Penrith are a really good side at transition. They're really good at coming out of their own end with their big wingers and with playing on the back of momentum and getting themselves in a really good field position. Once they get into field position, they become clueless. They do not create enough diversion. It's the hardest part of the field to attack because when you're down on the opposition try line, they don't need to retreat 10 metres. They can be 2 metres, they can be 3 metres. They get numbers in on tackles, yeah? Yep. So you need to come up with a game plan, like the good sides do, that when you've got the football down there, you create opportunities to score tries. You just don't pass it sort of out one side to the other or give it to a forward to go up and hope he offloads. You need to have your key players all around the play the ball, like the good sides, the Melbourne Storms and that do, and you need to create options and you need to have players that know which option to take. Last night, I was just watching Nathan Cleary get the football, every tackle, and everyone hoping that Nathan was going to do something with it. He's a 19-year-old kid. He needed help. And I just thought it was a really poor end of their season. And to me, they were poorly coached last night. They didn't go into that game with an idea of how to break Brisbane down. They just went in to do what Penrith have been doing all year, which hasn't been good enough against the better sides. I haven't seen... Look, I know that I really like Dylan Edwards as a player, but I haven't seen him set up his outside men consistently week in, week out. He's not a player that...
Like the extra 5'8",
like the really good fullbacks do. He's a great running player and he's brave and he's good at yardage. Same as with May. You know, he's a good player coming into first grade, but if someone wants to tell me that Matt Moylan doesn't make a difference to that side and doesn't create another body to then line up alongside Cleary to try and create attacking opportunities, and they're telling me they're a better side without him, well... Leave me alone. I mean, I think you don't know the game.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, Gerds. If Moylan plays last night, because we've seen so often when he does play, the way he finished last season, he was arguably the form player of the competition, and Penrith's attack flying into the finals last year was absolutely brilliant. You just touched on how the fact that they seem to lack options when they get in the opposition red zone, yet... When he was there last year, they were throwing plenty of different questions at the opposition. If he plays last night, do you think the Panthers are a far better chance?
Yes, 100%.
Do they win?
Yeah, potentially, because they had enough football to get the job done, Hoops. And look, Brisbane were brave, but yeah, Penrith, and they did all the hard yards. Like some of the, you spoke about Campbell-Gillard. Look, I mean, the wingers for Penrith, Mansour last night was enormous, and they're coming in looking for offload. They play a really simple game plan, which is great. If you can play on the back of momentum, I think that's a wonderful way to do things coming out of trouble. But the good sides, when they get into those opportunities where they need to put on set pieces and create diversion, they do it well. Yep. You look at, sometimes you watch the Melbourne Storm, and I know that Melbourne Storm, but we're still talking about, you know, the NRL, the top 4 to 6 sides. And you see, even the Roosters, sometimes they create overlaps to have 2 or 3 players just running untouched. That doesn't come from that one play that they put on that during that play ball. That comes from a set of 6 where they're working to something. They're dragging players in for a different reason. They've got forwards running together with little tip-ons. They get numbers in tackles. And then they know when to go wide. They've got a player then that identifies the opportunity out wide and gets the ball where it needs to go.
Yep.
But is it a coaching thing when, in reality, last night, they had Cleary as their playmaking option. They really didn't have the other option there, did they?
Yeah, so, yeah. Well, I believe it comes down to a game plan. it comes down to getting your players in that are going to fill those roles when you come up against the Broncos, and saying, when we get in these positions, how are we going to handle it? What are their weaknesses at? How do we get at Milford here? How do we do this? How much diversion do we need Peter Wise to create from dummy half? The try that they scored came off, it was an accidental tip on by Cartwright, so it was two forwards, a guy playing 5'8", but it was two big bodies running to the line and a short pass right at the line that isolated a defender and got Campbell Gillard to run over the top of someone. But they didn't do it enough, and it was an accident.
Yep. Let me ask you this, boys. Do you think when Corey Oates, you know, I hope Corey Oates is all right, actually. You know, when he got injured, do you think that should have been play on? I was happy for them to stop, but...
Absolutely should have been play on.
Gordy, tell us...
It should have absolutely been play on, Tony.
Gordy, tell us...
It was so graphic. Yeah. That was so... Yeah. That collision.
Yeah, it was. It was.
I actually had... Yeah. I flicked over because I feared the worst. And when I saw his head being cradled, I thought, I can't watch that.
It was an awful situation.
Gordy, tell us, was on the call, and I didn't agree. I thought it should have been stopped. Gordy said it should have been play on.
Look, the thing was, once the incident happened, the play had already been moved on. Penrith go around and score, and then they come back and they look after Oates, like in any other normal game. There's no way in the world should have they just blown the whistle because they saw impact like that. They should have certainly stopped it after the next play like they do, or if the ball was coming back towards the player you call it off immediately. But the ball wasn't. The ball was gone, and they were gone down the other end, and it was a poor play by Brisbane where Penrith defence got up, they hit Milford, which then actually sort of cannonballed him on to Oates. So it was a good defensive play.
It was an accidental thing that happened.
It was a good play by Penrith defensively, and they should have been rewarded.
They should have been rewarded, I agree
with you. And the game should have been played on.
Junior care has to be paramount at all times, Tony.
It's a rough game.
The play had moved on. It's a collision sport.
About half a metre.
No, it had gone far enough. Corey Oates was not going to be...
The whistle had gone.
Corey Oates was not going to be involved in the play from that point on. The doctors can come out, all the medical people can do what they need to do. But the rules are the rules, Tony.
Empathy for the game, Tone, not the
empathy
player.
Empathy for the human being.
Yeah, I think there's enough empathy for players these days.
You are pulling your children's teeth out.
Yeah,
good
I am.
Ones,
well,
the
they're asking
the
me to.
Just for fun.
Well.
This is what you're doing to me. This was something that was made
mate,
me feel
you've got enough
good.
On your plate at home with Harry, okay, mate? So let's take a deep breath.
So empathy's obviously the wrong thing here.
Oh, look, immediately the play should have been stopped after that next play was shut down. After the next play.
By some miracle, the ball it does come back towards
it wasn't going. They were gone. Shut the gate. Penrith were going to score a try.
Yeah, they were.
By some miracle, what was going to happen, Tony? Was a Penrith player going to run 20 metres towards to score a try and kick it backwards 50 metres? It wasn't going to happen.
I just can't get my head around the idea of that collision. Now, as I said, on television it was sickening. If you're standing next as a referee or touch judge and that happens and you immediately, your concern isn't for watching and running after the ball. Your concern is, wow, that was damaging. Let's get this guy sorted immediately. Blow the whistle. I cannot in any way criticise any official who makes that decision rather than say, well, let's play on and come back and see if he's okay.
It's a valid point, Tony, but it's not the rules of the game. And that's we're talking about semi-finals now and season-defining moments. And
but
look, I wish Corey all the best.
The rules of the game go out the window.
Why do they go out of the window?
Because you're talking duty of care to a human being who is lying there on the field who has been injured perhaps very seriously.
Yeah. I'm with you, Tony. I don't agree with these two. I don't know, mate.
What did Gordy say last night, Wendell?
Gordy said exactly what you guys just said. Yep. It should have been play on. But
how's Corey Oates today? Yeah. Was he in the sheds? He was up and about. They're talking about him playing next week. Yeah. Well, Penrith aren't playing next week.
They were singing
Corey's playing next
week. He was singing, I will walk 500.
That's the default. That's the default position you go to, Tone, after a big knock.
Is he
500 miles or 50 schooners? Whatever.
Actually, I've got a text from someone inside the camp. They said he's all right.
They want him to play. He wants to play on Friday night.
I don't
know. Where's the duty of care there, Tony?
I don't want him to play.
If he plays.
I was sickening to see him.
Well, there is a procedure, surely, about whether he plays next week.
7 days he needs, because it's a 7-day turnaround, it is permitted within the rules. He needs to undergo all the necessary cog tests, and if he passes all the medical tests, then he'll be cleared to play.
It just looked bad. It just looked really
It did
sickening.
Look bad.
Yeah.
It did look bad. Did you think that, Corey, what did you make of the play, Wendell? What did you make of the actual play? Did you think he made a bad decision there?
Yeah,
or?
No, I think he was too quick to get there. What you got to do there, you got to let Milford get to you. So Milford likes to float across. He was just too quick to go there, to get there. And that's, I think, Ben Hunt said the same thing when we interviewed him.
Right.
Mate, if he holds his width, I knew what he was trying to do because last week, with Mogul and that, running that outside line, coming back on the cross play,
He'd run a great line for his try earlier off the Ben Hunt pass as well, so I guess that was where he was. Corey Oates was looking fantastic before.
He was. He started the game on fire.
As was Ben Hunt. I thought he had another good game. And defensively as well, he was terrific. So anyway, 13-6 was the score of the Broncos over the Panthers. Still plenty to get out of that. Plus, we can talk referees' dramas. I want to get your take on all of those things as well. So much ahead. On Saturday, Triple M NRL, thanks to Brighton's lawyers. You could have a superannuation or TPT claim. Speak to Brighton's for free legal advice at AskBrighton's.com. com.au.
Never miss a minute of the footy.
Too good. Oh, my.
Download the Triple M NRL app and listen anywhere. This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
And it's lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. We're at the business end of the season. Another final tonight, obviously, elimination, Parramatta and the Cowboys. We'll preview that as we progress through the afternoon. Plenty of drama about the place. As I said last night, the Broncos 13 over the Panthers 6 in the AFL. The Geelong Cats, too good for the Swans.
Yes.
Yeah,
the Catties.
Yeah, the Catties.
Catters.
I mean, the Catters. Woo! You've been a fan of the Swans, allegedly, for some time.
I'm a Brisbane Lions supporter, but I do like the Swans. But I'm happy for Gerds, because Gerds is a Cats man.
I'm a Catter. We're off to play. It's going to be a big week next week in Adelaide.
Really?
Yeah. And then, but the danger's on fire. Danger, man.
Can you stop reading off your crib notes? Danger, man. Yeah. Well, obviously, I didn't see that game, but they were.
Hey, can you tell us about last night, Tony? It must have been hard for you because you obviously work in the NRL,
it's my show.
And you're passionate about the game.
Yes.
But you're a big Swannies man.
I am.
So
I'm polycodal.
You're poly a lot of things. I came in this morning and I was like, Tony, you know, what happened to your Swans? And you're like, I don't know, I didn't watch it.
Didn't watch it.
I watched the NRL. I said, no. Were the games on at the same time? Yes, of course they were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, how come you would have watched the NRL over the Swans? Were they that bad? And you said,
I didn't watch them.
I don't believe.
Oh, mate,
what time did you
start? You started off channel surfing, Tone. Yes. Surely you started off channel
surfing. The AFL started on the telly. The bounce was before the kickoff in the NRL. So it was about 5-6 minutes of that. The Swans went up to one goal zip. And then at 6-all, when Dangerfield kicked a goal from the forward, it was 6-all. I said, nah, this is bad. Turned it off. Didn't go back.
Yeah, no way.
Mate, you are a fair
unbelievable. What a supporter.
No, excuse me, I'm a professional. Today I'm here because I was watching, I love to do, the NRL. We're talking NRL today. We're talking about the AFL.
No.
AFL's irrelevant. It doesn't matter to me at all.
Mm-hmm. So you've got no teams left now?
I've got... Every team is my team because I'm an independent observer of the game. That's my job as a journalist, Wendell, as you know.
I have
to change my computer sign-in, though, now, password. Because it was Swannies 2017, that's not going to work anymore.
No. Okay.
But you did well because you lost the first 6 straight, didn't you?
I didn't. They did. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about what happened. We're going to get to plenty of drama. Last night, there was apart from Ryan Girdler's belief that the referees committed an atrocity by stopping the play when Corey Oates was
I don't believe that was the way that I worded it, Tony. I didn't say it was an atrocity.
No.
I mean, come on. I'm not Hannibal Lecter.
Not quite.
I just thought that they got it wrong.
Yeah, okay.
But we're not talking about the refs, or are we?
We are talking about the refs. There was no in the post-game, there was no acrimony about the refereeing decisions, which is a terrific thing after what we witnessed last weekend.
Well, it was interesting, Tone. Anthony Griffin wasn't asked about that particular play. I watched the press conference last night, and he wasn't asked about it. Nobody asked him a question. Yeah. I found it strange. But it is good. Obviously, there was some massive fallout last weekend and some heavy fines dished out, and they got a tough job, the match officials, and they deserve to be treated with some respect.
So. Indeed. Now, through the week, though, there's been, obviously, this debate has raged about the referees and about the bunker and about those decisions, about human frailties, all of those kinds of things. Now, Wayne Bennett did discuss the situation during the week. Here's what he had to say.
You know, we've all got to be better. I mean, coaching will be better, but, you know, I don't think there's any doubt in anyone's mind that the referees can't be better either. But I will say this about the bunker, and I said it before, you know, the bunker will always, they'll make mistakes in there. I said at the time, the bunker, when they brought the video refs in, I said the same thing. It's just, it's human nature, and I mean, I think we need less technology than more. I hope we go that way somewhere in the future.
So you'd scrap the bunker?
I'd scrap the bunker. I certainly would. I'd do it tomorrow. I didn't want it to come in the first place, personally. Most popular sport in the world, soccer. And they have no technology except what, you know, the ball goes in goal. And they understand the ramifications if they have the technology. And they don't want it. You know, Gridiron had it. and they've reduced it now to a coach's call. There's some good lessons out there for us, but we're not listening to them and not looking at them hard enough.
Did you go back to one referee, Wayne?
Yeah, well, I've been watching a fair bit of English football, and their referees over there, I think they do a really good job with the one ref. Yeah, and I'm a fan of that as well. The less out there, the better.
If you scrap the bunker, do you think coaches are going to cop it if there's a big call that's clearly wrong?
Hey, we copped it for 90-odd years. We live with it. Okay, and we got on with life. We didn't carry on like we carry on now. Everyone's got an opinion now. We're just giving too many people an opinion. Just you know, it'll never be perfect. You all understand that. Everybody understands that. But we're looking for perfection all the time. It's not going to be that way. Let's get on with life and, you know, accept what we have to accept.
Yeah, Brisbane coach Wayne Bennett there
good
saying
message,
basically he wants to pull back on the technology. He also wants to go back to the horse and cart over motorised transport. And I think that's a good idea as well. But do you think there is something in this? Would you, I'm going to ask the same question of you three, and I will 133353 of our listeners as well. Would you, how far back would you go? Would you pull it back to one referee? Would you abandon the bunker? Are we going to be better off going forward by going backward? Wendell Saylor?
Yeah, look, I think for me, I still like the bunker. I mean, obviously, there's a bit of work to be done there still. But even when they throw it up there, I want them to make a decision on the field. If you don't know, just send it up and let them have a look at it. I think that's one thing. For me, look, the one ref, mate, it might work, but it's just so hard with the wrestle because the coaches and everyone, you know, you're on the edge. We've seen Parramatta with their wrestling coach or, you know, like the black belt, whatever that guy was. but on the edge. So, you know, one referee is not going to do, you know. You can't control that ruck, and that's why Melbourne are so good at what they do.
But there was rubbish going on in the ruck
before
generations, yeah. Surely.
But you get away with it. It's quite loose, but it was quite loose there. Like, you know, there's... Yeah, I don't know what you call those moves, but like Cameron Smith is the best at it, you know, when you're getting up, and not just him, but he's, you know, you can't go back, right back. I like the bunker, but there's just got to be some changes there.
Okay.
Plenty of influential figures in the game, Tone, would like it to go back to one referee. I genuinely don't know what the answer is. I think the bunker, to a degree, has eliminated a degree of the howlers. You don't really want the blatantly wrong decisions. You want to have as few of those as is humanely possible. But obviously, you're never going to be able to get it perfect all of the time. I'm perplexed, Tone. I don't know what the answer is.
Last week, I think there was, you know, issues with the bunker and with the on-field refereeing. I think, obviously, you know, some of the Manly decisions came down to the bunker. Did they get it right? And I think some of the Cronulla ones were what happened on field, the decisions that the refs made sort of on the job. So I'm like Hoops. I believe the bunker's got a place for the howler. I don't think we're talking about howlers that happened last week. I think we're talking about 50-50 calls that people just can't decide on anyway. Even after looking at the decision, me and Hoops stood there. We were watching the Penrith game last week, and we debated for maybe 3 or 4 minutes. It was a lengthy conversation. And we couldn't decide whether Peachy touched it or not. And that wasn't the bunker getting that wrong. That was us two sitting there going, gee, I don't know. He's like, yeah. I'm like, no, I don't think so. And then same as with the offside. I mean, the bunker, I think he got those decisions right. But even if he got it wrong, I think the fact that we're all debating it means that the bunker served its purpose. Because if it was a blatant one and we're all going, they got that wrong, well, then we've got an issue. So I think the bunker's doing its job to get rid of the howler. And I would go back to one referee. I think it gives the referee an opportunity to control the game in their style and their tempo. It gives the players an opportunity to get into their rhythm as opposed to, you know, I think now it's 80-20 with the referees. The key guy goes for 80%, and then when he gets a bit tired, he gets the other guy in there, and then all of a sudden the 10 can be changed, the tempo of the game's different. So, yeah, I believe one referee could do a good job, and we get rid of both of them. Put them on the line, though. Don't, you know, we don't want to
put him on the line.
Well, put him on the sideline.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, put the pocket guy on the sideline. Like, keep him involved.
Yep. Milton has called 133353. Don't sack him. No.
We don't want to lose jobs.
Keep him in work.
G'day,
Milton.
Yeah, hey, guys. I actually agree with Wayne Bennett, which is very rare. For 90-odd years, we lived with one referee, no technology. go back to it and go to Kiama Night tomorrow, Group 7 Grand Final against Jamboree. No video refs there, boys.
Yeah, nice. Go to Kiama Night.
On your Milton.
Yeah, the Falls.
Everybody lives with the decision, video. The
thing about Milton from Kiama. Hey,
that's exactly. If you do get rid of the video referee, though, you've also got to then, I think, at the ground, you couldn't play a replay on the big screen of a controversial decision in slow motion because you're going to get the crowd up in arms.
Yeah, it's all theatre. That's what they want.
That's right. Exactly. Michael, g'day.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, buddy. What are your thoughts?
All right, can bring back the in-goal touch charge. Scrap the ref in the bunker. There's a big screen at every field these days, whether they take it to the country or not. You got the ref on the field. If he's unsure, he gets the footage put up on the big screen. Everybody sees the same thing. He makes the call. One mind control on the game.
See, that consistency is appealing, I must admit, if the quality of the vision that they're seeing from standing on the ground is good enough to get the job done.
It was funny, wasn't it, when we had the in-goal touch judge? I mean, they were kind of, it was a weird, that was, when was that, 97, they brought the in-goal touch judges and that in, where they just had someone standing there trying to get
a better angle?
Yeah. I don't know if that worked either, you know? No. I think one ref and the bunker for the big calls.
One ref and the bunker. 133353, plenty of callers online. We'll get to you very shortly on Saturday Triple M NRL, doing it for Brighton's Lawyers.
Triple M Rock Saturday Arvo footy for Brighton's Lawyers. Protecting your future.
Oh, my goodness.
Triple M rocks the footy.
Mate, battery dead. I left the lights on. I usually get, like, top-of-the-range car, because I'm going to sponsor car now.
the lights turn off automatically, yeah?
Yes.
You're in a poor person's car now.
Yeah.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, but I've come back to the field a little bit. But right. And actually, Andrew Fafita was in his Range Rover, and I said, Fafita, have you got jumper leads? And he goes, no, bro. See you later.
You know what to do with jumper leads?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Right.
Put them on the battery thing and they start and turn it over.
This is Saturday Triple M NRL.
You do have to attach them to another car, though, Wendell.
I know that. Yeah, or you can actually buy the battery itself and then you can do it that way. There's actually a battery thing you can buy as well.
A battery? Like a new battery to replace the old one.
You can do, someone said you can buy it from somewhere anyway.
Like a rechargeable battery, have it in the back of your car with the jumper leads.
I don't know.
If you did that and you then became a guy with a battery in the back of your car that could start other cars, would you just go around helping people out?
No, just leave me alone, mate. I still feel
you can
bad.
Use them if you know what to do with them. How does your mind work? What else? Can you change a tyre, Wendell?
No, mate, once again, you know the answer to that. Please do not pick on me.
I'm not picking on you.
Are, Tony.
You know what? If I could afford it, I'd just get a driver because obviously... I'm serious because remember last year at Campbelltown, I locked my keys in my car.
Yeah, you're not very good.
And I had to smash that window.
You said your attention span isn't... You're kind of like goldfish, aren't you? You're kind of swimming around and around, always meeting new and interesting people.
Correct. Correct.
Steve.
I love meeting
people. Is that West Tigers supporter... Has he recovered yet since you smashed the window using part of his body?
Steve has called 133353. We're talking about the dilemma that is the refereeing situation. How far back would you go? One referee, would you get rid of the bunker? Steve, g'day.
G'day, how you doing?
Yeah, good, buddy. What are your thoughts?
I'd go back to one referee, but, you know, I think the punters and the fans were pretty sick of the forward passes. I mean, you know, some of the flat ones, you know, they can get overlooked, but... You know, the howlers that get passed through over, you know, these days, I mean, the touchies aren't doing anything. I mean, it should be, you know, like the English Premier League and the international soccer, you know, you've got that computer line that tells you straight away, you know, it's offside or it's not, you know, and the bunker could be looking after that. They just whistle in the frigging referee's ear and it's, you know, cancelled.
Yeah, the forward pass one is difficult, isn't it? I guess with and everybody talks about the forward pass, even the parallax error, all those sorts of things, and the line scratch thing. But yeah, obviously, you know, fans do get peeved when they see blatantly forward passes that don't go heard. Peter is also caught. G'day, Pete.
Hey, buddy, how are you?
Yeah, good. What do you think?
I reckon, talking about the ruck for a second,
yep.
To make it easy for every single person in the stadium, that's the players, the coaches, the refs, the fans, everybody to be on the same page when it comes to the ruck. As soon as the player hits the deck, they can count the three in their head to know they're going to get up. The tacklers know 3 seconds, I've got to get off. The ref knows 3 seconds. If these blokes aren't off, I'm going to call a penalty. The crowd can count it in their head. Everybody is on the same page.
Is he running?
No, three seconds, get up.
Peter, would you go, would it be like, just so we're all on the same page, like one 1,000, two 1,000, or would it be 1, 2, 3, one Mississippi?
Yeah, but that's the, it's like a ruck clock, basically, is what you're proposing.
Yeah, okay.
Look, the thing about it is, everybody's going to push the rules no matter what it is. I don't know how, you know, players are going to go 1, 2, 3.
Peter and Cameron Smith counts.
Exactly. Not a bad idea, though, Pete. Thank you for your call. We're going to get very soon to our best of the best. That's next. And it is a beautiful topic on Saturday, Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyer. Triple M rocking the footy for you on a Saturday afternoon, all heading towards this evening's kickoff, ANZ Stadium. The Parramatta Eels taking on the Cowboys to survive another week. Get into a grand final playoff next weekend. Of course, already the Panthers have gone down to the Broncos 13-6. So look at the Tyre Power scoreboard. Time for this.
On Triple M NRL, the best of the best.
Yes, we've gone through a lot this season in our best of the best, a lot of terrific topics. We've had best forwards, best back rowers, best wingers, on and on we've gone with some terrific topics. So we thought we'd go with something as we head towards the business end of the season, the best chins in the game. The best chins in the game, or jawlines.
I'll start.
You're going to start.
Yeah.
We need people who have that powerful lower end of their face, Wendell. That's what we're looking at.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Okay. All right. Who are you going to go with?
My first one, I'll go with the man, Willie Mason. Yes, Mason. Big Willie.
Yeah, okay. He's Willie, the guy from Willie, Hell's Willie. Kitchen.
And
okay,
a big chin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Willie Mason. And then another one of my friends and ex-teammates, Tony T.C. Carroll, the Hansa. King of Chins. Oh, wow. His nickname was Chinzano.
That's
what we
named him. That's a drink, you know, Chinzano.
No, I didn't know that.
Chinzano and try.
And I really couldn't think of anything.
He was a plain man, Tony. He's not here, is he?
Who's that?
Tony Carroll. He was a pretty plain-looking dude.
Yeah, he's
the world's most handsome.
He's a hard dude. And then I'm probably going to go with one more. Mm-hmm. Does it have to be a rugby league or can be any code?
Nah, just throw it out there. Okay.
Brendan Favola, good mate of mine, Fev.
Brendan Fev. Absolutely.
So, is that okay? You happy with that?
I'm very good.
Yeah, big deal.
All right, James Hooper, where are you going to go?
I'm going to go with the bloke who... I like Wendell's sign off there. I'm going to go with the bloke who played a lot of footy, played for Australia, played for Queensland, played for the Broncos, played for the Cowboys, Brent Tate. Yeah. Very good player, very underrated player at times. Champion.
He's my draft stars, mate. Yeah.
He has got a bloody good chin.
Yeah. It was always accentuated too by when he had that kind of neck brace thing he used to wear as well.
The car seat headrest. Yeah.
Love you, Tatey.
I'm going a little bit more modern. I'm going to go with the young gun, Nathan Cleary, I reckon. I don't know about the chin, but he's got a bloody good jaw, you know. It looks like his old man. It looks solid. It looks pretty bloody strong.
Yep.
And then I'm going to go with Big Willie as well, with Wendell.
Yeah, we love the Big Willie.
With Mace. Yeah. All right. He had a very strong-looking loaf of bread.
All right. Well, done, Hoops. So does that leave you with anything to play?
Yeah, there's a couple there. I'm going to go with, remember Knuckles Greenhill? Played for the Sharks. Yeah,
old Knuckles. He got sent off for Origin, yeah.
He did. He had a decent jawline. I'm going to go with Mark Gasnier.
Gaz.
Yeah. Fairly strong, solid of the face.
Yeah. If you're listening, Gaz, give
solid bottom end of the face. What about Boyd Cordner?
Well, he's got the Peter Griffin style.
Sort of Roger Ramjet-ish, isn't he?
A bit Roger Ramjet.
So that'd be my three.
Yeah, okay. I like that one. Mick Ennis has also got a fairly strong jawline. Okay, so we got. I think Brent Tate. There you go. I'm going to mark Brent.
You're going to go Brent Tate over Chinzano.
I reckon
Chinzano.
You're going to go Chinzano.
Yeah, Tony Carroll, king of the chins. Love you, TC.
We got plenty to come. This is Saturday Triple M NRL. All thanks to Bryden's Lawyer. Yes, the illuminating sight of Ryan Goethe playing air guitar as Triple M rocks the
footy. No, Tony, I was just scratching my belly.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah.
It would look very much like air guitar. I haven't seen you play air guitar before.
No.
It's more of a Wendell kind of thing.
Have you heard me play air guitar?
Yeah, you know, you do. You're very, very good at it. Mm. Plenty to come on the show. A couple of hours to share with you this afternoon. What Does the Fox Say is coming up next. And we're going to have a chat with Nathan Hindmarsh, obviously, an Eels legend ahead of that game. The Eels are playing tonight against the Cowboys. That's all ahead. Saturday Triple M NRL for Bryden's Lawyers.
Triple M rocks Saturday Arvo footy for Bryden's Lawyers. Protecting your future.